sorry. Not here. She's with my daughter and my granddaughter, and they're in the Mouse-Eared Nation. She'll be back tomorrow. And also, before we start here, I want to pray for a couple of things. Keith Hildebrandt, I want to continue to pray for him. I'm believing God's going to completely and totally heal him. Chuck Lankford had replacement knee surgery Friday, and we need to pray for him that God will quicken that, and let's do that. Father, we just lift up these guys to you right now, Lord. We know that they're in your hand, and Father, I pray for Keith and all the stuff that he's going through and all the processes of healing. God, there's a ton of folks that are praying for him, and we're just asking you to completely heal him. Father, we ask that you absolutely, totally heal him in your name. You said it's done. We're believing it. We're standing in agreement with it. We're going to rip the roof open and drop him down to you and when he's lacking faith, and we're going to release him in that. And Father, we pray for Chuck and just the healing process. I pray, Lord, that you quicken it, that you take the pain away, and that you just do everything that a good dad does. And we thank you for that. Amen. Also, at the conclusion of this, today we have a hamburger. What's it called? Hamburger shindig. That's what I'm calling it, so that's what we're going to call it. It'll be back here in the garden room. It's $7 for a person, $20 if you have a family. So if you've got like a big old family, you're going to get a good deal. Anyway, it's a men's fundraiser, and it will be in the garden room, which will be through these doors. And they told me that there's not a calorie one in any of the food. So there you go. You believe that? Me neither. So when I've been in prayer recently, man, the Lord is just, the one word that has been coming to me over and over and over and over and over is the word clarity. We need clarity. And we need clarity in this nation. We need clarity in this state, we need clarity in this county, in this city, in this church. We need clarity about who God is and what He is. And for probably the last 5 years, I've been teaching you and helping you understand what's a big word, which is justification through faith alone, right? Through Jesus alone. And we all understand that what Jesus has done for us. But what I want to do today is I'm going to start with an overview. We're going to use three huge words that have simple meanings. I don't know why we had to come up in the English language with such big words. But what I want you to remember is this. The J, Jesus, the S, saving, and the G, grace. Now, the words we're going to use, though, are justification, sanctification, glorification. You like that? Good, because it's big words. But I'm convinced that we need a better understanding of the practice of who we are in life. And by the way, justification, sanctification, and glorification cover our whole life, just so you know. So let me see. I probably should have my notes in my hand. Let me see if I missed anything. Yeah, we need to be crystal clear in these days. Anyway, show this first little slide here. Now, watch this. Justification, that's salvation past. In other words, when we came to accept Christ, we were justified by what Christ did for us on the cross. Period. End of story. There is nothing you can do, nothing in your own personal self of righteousness that you can do that will justify you before God other than what Christ did. We'll show that in Scripture here. But now watch this. The next part of our life is sanctification. No. Stay there. It's sanctification, and that's present. In other words, sanctification is where we are today. Once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, something does change. But it doesn't change out of demand. It changes out of love. And one of the thoughts that has been just running in my heart and mind this week is this. Most folks use the Scripture to try to find the meaning of love. But Jesus, who is love, used love to show the meaning of Scripture. And when you really get and understand that, then you won't be so importantly ugly, if you will, with people around you, no matter what their thought is, because everything should be motivated in our understanding through the love that Christ has, because Jesus is love. So anyway, that's our present. And by the way, I'm not going to hang with the glorification part, because that's at the end. When we're at the end, who cares, right? You do my funeral, pray, cry, whatever. I'll be glorified. You get it? But it means for the future. So in other words, justification is our conversion to Christ. Sanctification is our Christian living. It's what flows out of our coming to know Christ. This is the greatest thing about the Christian religion. No other religion wants you to be every other religion is going to try to push you towards doing something and pleasing the God. Well, this is all about flowing through you in what Christ has already totally and completely done for you, but then there's this flow that happens, and then the glorification part is salvation in the future. So, or is heaven. So you got the conversion, the Christian living, and heaven. So let me show you this in one scripture. I'm going to explain this, and again, I'm not going to deal with the glorification part. That's, you know, people always ask me, why don't you teach why don't you teach end times? And it's like, well, you know, because right now I'm dealing with people who are hurting, and I don't think they really care about, you know, how it's going to happen. Just stay ready, be ready, and it's going to happen. I'm not a pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, I'm pan. It's going to pan out, baby. And so let's just stay there and let me help people and to love and serve other people. That's kind of what the whole principle, by the way, of sanctification is. So let's go to the scripture here. So this is justification. Now watch this. God saved you. This is out of Ephesians chapter 2. God saved you by His grace when you believed. Period. End of story. When you believed in Him, He saved you. And you can't take credit for this. There's not a work you can do to gain this. Watch. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. So none of us can boast about it. I can't boast in anything but Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said, right? For we are God's masterpiece. Now watch. We're just talking right up there about justification and conversion. Verse 10, we are God's masterpiece. We've been talking about the potter and the clay. We've been talking about what He makes us to be, which, by the way, the word justification is something imparted to us, declared. The righteousness is declared to us. Sanctification literally means to be set apart to God in Christianity, but the word sanctification works outside of Christianity, by the way. In fact, anybody got a pen? You got a pen, Ben? Anybody got a pen? Oh, look at here. This pen, when I use it to write, "Hi, Steve," is sanctified. This pen is sanctified when I use it for its purpose. If I use it to kill John, stab John, it's not sanctified because it's not being used for its purpose. And the purpose is very clear in Scripture of who we are and what we're to do. And that really is as simple as loving and serving other people. And it comes out of a flow from the... And what's so ironic to me, for me, Steve Van Zandt, when I finally came to the epiphany understanding of what Christ has done for me, I was overwhelmed with it. There's a great story that Pastor Tim Keller tells of this lady who, she wasn't even a believer yet. And she went up to him after service and she says to him, I'm really wondering what this is about, you know, because it's the package of not being just justified by God, but then what does God expect? And she asked him the question of what does God expect? So he just puts it back on her. Well, what do you think? She said, well, if it is true, if justification is true, that Christ did absolutely everything for me, then that means that I have to be able to do, there's nothing that He can't ask of me to do. Because if it was about my works, then there was only a few things He could ask me to do. This is somebody who didn't even believe. And that's the case. When we really understand and believe what Christ did, there's nothing that He can't expect from us. What a wonderful thing that is. Oh, here's your pen back, by the way. I don't want to stab John. So, I got stuck there on sanctification. Salvation's not rewarded for your good deeds. Verse 10, for we're God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things. That's sanctification. That's Christian living that He planned for us long ago. Sanctification, set apart to God or set apart to whatever so that you can accomplish what the purpose is you were made to do. It's really that simple. So that big word sanctification. That's why I put saving, because it's an ongoing process in us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not about perfection in life. It's about newness of life. There's a huge difference. If I'm hung up with trying to be perfect, it's not, but it's a newness of life that Christ creates in us when we believe. So, I'm going to go through this. Here's my next little slide. I did slides. I feel like my wife, she does slides on Wednesdays. Watch this now. Justification, what Christ did on the cross, is righteousness imputed. In other words, we are declared righteous not because of anything that we have done, but because of what Christ did for us on the cross. I've used that. Again, I've been teaching on justification for years. Y'all should have this in your little heart by now. It's Christ did on the cross. He took what? He took sinner Steve, sinless one, took sinner Steve so that sinner Steve could be sinless. Christ did that. So that's what righteousness imputed is. But watch, there's more beyond that. Then you go into sanctification, where righteousness is imparted. And Scripture is very clear that we are to pursue righteousness, which is what? Pursue goodness, which is what? It's what the Holy Spirit said in Galatians chapter 5, where he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about the fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the law. And here's what's so ironic to me. Listen to me. When you allow the fruits of the Spirit to grow in your life, love, joy, peace, you automatically do the law. Come on, man. Where the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, if you're walking in the sanctification of what you've been set apart for, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself so much that you're not going to cause that kind of havoc in their life. It's an automatic thing. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Okay, I get that. So what does that mean? That means I'm focusing in on Him. But from that is where your life flows. And if it doesn't flow, you're no different than a tree. Listen, man, if a tree's planted in the ground, you know, James said it. He said, faith without works is dead. And which, by the way, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of folks think that the Apostle Paul, it contradicts James. That is so not true. It is not contradictory at all. And the cool thing is, James was talking to the church, which is who I'm talking to, because James realizes the church that needed to understand sanctification more than what Paul was doing on the road when he was talking to people who didn't know Jesus. You get it. But they're all in the same. Paul even made it clear. He makes it clear. Well, you'll see it in Scripture here too. You can tell this is a real passion in me, and the reason it's a passion in me is because, for whatever reason, as I've taught in this area of justification, I just took it for granted that people, when they grasp the understanding of how awesome Jesus is, that they would automatically flow into it, but it doesn't. There's a whole lot of folks that call themselves believers, ladies and gentlemen, but they're not walking in sanctification. That's where James, you know, said it. He said, is it saving? And by the way, going back to the faith thing, just so FYI, faith is awesome, but it's not Jesus. What do you mean? Again, you go into James and where he said, the demons believe too, and they shudder. So the demons have a theological understanding better than most anyway. You get it? So they have faith that there's a Jesus, and it scares them to death. So faith's not the answer. Jesus is. Jesus died on the cross. Faith didn't. Does that make sense? Am I just tearing y'all's brains up? Because it tore my brain up when I'm studying it. Now look at this, though. So righteousness imputed. No, back up. You're just too quick for me, man. I know. He's like, come on, I got to get to lunch. I want one of them hamburgers. Watch this. Justification is me in Christ. Sanctification is Christ in me. When I am in Christ, Christ is in me. So out of me, when Christ is in me, is where those fruits come. And again, I want to emphasize, it's the fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the law. Because works have a demand, fruits grow. It's a process of growing. It's an awesome thing. That's why you can see people who've known Jesus for a while and they're being sanctified, homogenized, pasteurized, you know. But you can see in there, you can tell there's a life change. But that's through a natural process. It doesn't change the fact of justification, what Christ did. But it's all about life. Justification sanctification, glorification covers us all in all of life. So here's what I love too. If you look at the glorification part, justification is righteousness imparted. Sanctification is righteousness imparted. Glorification is moral perfection and a new body imparted. When we get to heaven, we get a new body. Yay. Somebody say yay on that. Yeah. So me in Christ is justification. Christ in me is sanctification. Glorification is me in heaven. I don't have to talk about me in heaven. Heaven's cool. We are going to get there someday. Here's the scripture to try to help us get. By the way, I'm giving an overview today. Hopefully it's an overview and it's not a mind-boggling something. So Romans chapter 3, Apostle Paul writing, "For everybody sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous." Boom. Justification. Me in Christ. I am declared righteous because I am in Christ. "He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." Next scripture. Now watch. We're going to stay here now. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature." What does that mean? The law was sitting there right in front of us and we could not do it. Get it? So God did what the law couldn't do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, watch what he declared this time instead of that we're righteous. God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. So he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Sanctification right there. Christ in me. I no longer chase after sin. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't walk in the justification of Christ and still start chasing after sin. You can't do it. And it's a miserable life to try. I mean, it really is a miserable life to try. It reminds me when I was a kid. You know, I kind of knew Jesus, but I was just a kid, and I had my school friends and I had my church friends, and they were all both extremely different. You know, but the problem was when you ran into them out in public somewhere and they were both at the same time, then what do? You're that squirrel in the middle of the street trying to decide which way to run before you get squashed. You know, it's a miserable life. It really is. But Jesus came to set us free. And free from the condemnation that it talked about in the top of that scripture, the condemnation that the enemy would tell you, the enemy's constantly going to tell you how bad you are, but you just got to keep walking in sanctification. So I want you to always remember this, when I say you need to walk in sanctification, brother, that means you need to walk in the reason that God made you. And the reason that God made you is pretty cool. He made you to try to get other people to understand his love and his mercy and his grace. It's really cool. So, okay, again, this is overview. You're going to get out early enough to enjoy hamburger, then go eat somewhere else. Two. All right, let's go to that next slide. Watch, this is good stuff right here. Justification establishes our position. Sanctification transforms our condition. My position is in Christ. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care how many times I've failed. I don't care about that. My position is in Christ. Everything he did was for me. I've said it, and I'm going to repeat it right here. What Christ did on the cross for us is absolutely incredible. So when the perfect one was killed and rose again from the dead, that completed everything, so that when God looks at the cross where Jesus took on all that sin, he sees Steve Van Zandt on that ugly cross. But when he looks at Steve Van Zandt, he sees Jesus. Amen. That's the truth. But then with that understanding, our condition transforms. But my position is in Christ. Circumstances can do what my position is in Christ. I'm solid as a rock there. But beyond that, There's a transformation that happens in my condition. I start being better. I start being better. I start doing better. Why? Not because of me. See, that's the difference. Again, I gotta help you here. You can't do to try to earn. You just, it's going to come as a natural flow as you plug into, Jesus said it in chapter 15 of John, man, when he talks about staying in the vine and planting in the vine, and you're the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and he says all these wonderful things, and he talks about fruit and all this, and again, you go into Galatians chapter 5, and it talks about all the horrible sins there are, and then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. All of that comes as we walk in. Again, listen, I'm going to say it again, I said it a while ago. It's not about perfection of life, it's about newness of life. When you really believe that He loves you and did what He did like that for you, you can't help but want to do what He created you to do. That's going to hopefully rattle some of y'all's Facebook posts. You get it? So, justification was once for all time. Sanctification is continuous in this life as we are on earth. Glorification is going to be once for all time. Baby, once you home forever. You got it. So it's good stuff. Here's the scripture. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He's entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven. In other words, not one made, well, here it says it, which was not made by human hands, and it's not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves like they used to do, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Wow. Let me see where I'm at here. Yeah, keep going. And he didn't enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth entered the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If you understand Old Testament scripture and Old Testament Jewish tradition, that's what once a year, they did the atonement sin. So once a year, everybody got covered for the next year. How cool was that? I mean, that was kind of cool when you think about it. One time for the whole year. Woohoo! So, verse 26, if that had been necessary that he kept going, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he's appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death and as a sacrifice. That is justification. But now watch, there's more. So, this is Romans 7. So when we were controlled by our old nature, remember, we've asked Christ into our life. We are now justified because we understand and we believe. I shouldn't say understand. And we believe what he did for us on the cross is true. When we are controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. Verse 6. But now that we understand that we are justified by Christ alone, but now we've been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Watch this. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. If you've accepted Christ and believe in Christ, he said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. This isn't about speaking in other tongues. That's a whole different ballgame. This is about the Holy Spirit lives in you, because the enemy is going to try to use that as an excuse that you can't live in the Spirit if you ain't tongue-talking. Stop it. This Holy Spirit lives in you. Now look, so because it's a new way of living, so my way of living is going to change, and it's going to be a new way of living because it's going to be living in the Spirit. So that when the Holy Spirit that lives in us is in us, he's the one that directs us. He's the one that grows the fruit in us. Love, joy, peace. Just stop at love, man. Just stop at that word love. I'm telling you. I said it a while ago, but it's just so true. Most people use Scripture to try to get a definition of love, but then Jesus is love, and love uses love to get the meaning of Scripture. But we can't get it confused, because what we do is we do selective love. Get it? So, where am I at? Let me stay right here on my page. I'm getting close to the end. I know y'all are disappointed. So, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Again, sanctification. This reminds me of something I said in a message one time, and I guess I didn't make it clear. I was using an example of guys who struggle with pornography, and what I said was, where the Word tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. And what I said was, if you will say that when you're getting on the thing, then you won't be doing it. But for some reason, it was twisted like it's okay as long as you're quoting Scripture. That you, like, can I not help you here, please? There really is some common sense in Jesus. The truth is, what I said is very true. If you're proclaiming that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you can't do that, because you understand that you are living a new way now. You get it. And it's not about, well, no, Jesus still loves me because if I fail. I get that. Yes, and of course He still loves you. He's not going to ever stop loving me. I don't ever stop loving my children, but they still do stupid sometimes. But if they don't, but they don't try to justify it, you get it. Stop trying to understand what pieces you can have and throw yourself completely into what that girl that didn't even know Jesus said. If it's true that everything that He did for me and I can't do anything about it, then that means there's nothing that He can ask of me that I shouldn't do. How cool is that, rather than trying to use a grace card to somehow justify the way we live? I'm going to say it again. It's not perfection of life. It's newness of life. When you Christ, everything becomes new in us. If it's legit, you get it. Yeah, I think a little bit. So the word sanctification means what? A pen. Just remember a pen. Pen right. Sanctification. Justification means a declared righteousness. Sanctification means set apart to God to do what He's called you to do. Glorification is the end result of all this wonderful thing called life. And here's what tickles me too. If this weren't true, if those three things weren't true, justification, sanctification, and glorification, there would be no need for church. You get it? Because we could just walk around being justified. I'm justified in Jesus. And actually, there's some religions that would teach there's instant sanctification. Man, give me that pill. You get what I'm saying? Instant sanctification? How cool would that be? Boom! I'm perfect. You never yell at your wife again? You know, stuff like that. I mean, stuff practical like that. Like, you yelled at her last night and I heard it? No, I'm just kidding, Johnny.
I put it on Facebook.
Did you? That's true, too. All right, I'm concluding here. What time is it? Oh, man, good. I'm concluding early. My wife would be proud. Put up that last justification thing. I just want to use the top of it. Justification, put up above that Jesus. Sanctification, saving. Glorification, grace. Jesus, it's all, justification is, whoa, justification is totally, only about Jesus. Sanctification, saving. Constant, sozo is the word salvation, and it's a complete and total wholeness. All of us understand we're not completely and totally whole, but we are moving into that, and it's going to happen as we begin to understand. I'm going to put some meat to these bones that I've put up here today so that we can get some practical understanding of this whole thing called love, joy, peace. Listen, and what's so ironic is when you study it out and you start looking at it, there's areas in your life. For instance, I have joy, and you can't fake joy, and some people get mad at you because you have joy when troubles come. And it happens a lot like that. Well, you just fake. I'm not faking that. I can't help it. I have joy. There's just thing in Jesus in me called joy. I don't need to make excuses for it. But I want to help us over the next 100 years, however long it takes, to gain an understanding. Because this is not about a hammer. This is about rightly dividing what the Word says. You get it? There's no better place to do that than with people that you love and are sincere with. So, again, Jesus saving grace. Of course, grace is greatness, because grace means you get something you don't deserve. Certainly heaven would work out for me on that, right? So I just like anacrostics or whatever they're called. So, watch this. Anybody who has true saving faith in Christ will manifest it in their behavior, the indwelling life of Christ. James' teaching, I said this a while ago, but I'll say it again. James' teaching on works and Paul's on grace are not opposite. They actually fit hand in hand. True faith unites us in Christ, me in Christ, and then produces the works of, not the law, but the law of Christ. And Christ gave us a great law. He really did. He made the old law kind of tough. I didn't come to abolish the law, he said. I came to fulfill it. And here's how I'm going to fulfill it. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye. I'm telling you, you got to love people you can't stand. You get it? So he's like, okay, I can, the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? He made it very clear. I didn't come to be served. Okay, listen to my last 4 messages or whatever it was on the potter. That's exactly who he is. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And they're still trying to get him to put him in position. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And give my life. How cool is that? So, again, truth faith unites us in Christ, that's me in Christ, and then produces the works of the law of Christ. Here's the last scripture I want to use. Apostle Paul wrote this. He gets it. It's the next one, sorry. I made you go back too far. Another one. Because it's the last one. That's it. 1 Corinthians 9:21. Burn that in your brain, in your heart. Most first in your brain, your phronio. Jesus said, I will transform you by the renewing of your mind. Get it in your heart, but put it in your mind. Absorb it. When I am with the Gentiles, this is Paul talking, and he was mostly with the Gentiles, by the way. When I'm with the Gentiles who don't follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I don't ignore the law of God, but I obey the law of Christ. Sanctification. It's not the old law. And once again, let me say this once again. When you really walk and obey the law of Christ, you will automatically obey the Old Testament law, because thou shalt not steal. Well, if you're obeying the law of Christ, it's because you love people so much you don't want to take away from their stuff. Is that making any sense? I want it to make sense. So, here's my last point, and I really am done. A tree that is deeply rooted but produces no leaves or fruit for years and years and years and years is considered dead. That's why James said it that way. Faith without works, and he's talking about the works of the law of Christ, is dead. Because there's nothing that's produced now. That's why Jesus talked about it. You're going to know people by their fruit. If for years and years and years it's not produced. But you know what? Here's the journey, and I will shut up. Here's the journey. Let's do this. Anybody been to Phoenix, Arizona? Okay, have you ever been there like when it's hot? Gay and I were there years ago. We used to do some help. We used to help Iverna Tompkins, Jetson Cornwall's sister. Used to help her do some ministry stuff. And we would fly there on occasion. Well, one time we were there, we had to stay an extra day because the thermals were so bad on the ground they couldn't let the airplane take off because it popped the tires. It was 124 degrees, man. Stupid hot. I used to wear contacts. And I had to get under the sink and let the water get my contacts out of my eyes because they had fried to my eyes. And I ended up wearing my glasses today. So, by the same token, you go, I think it's about 4 or 5 hours to Flagstaff. Ever been to Flagstaff, Arizona? It's beautiful. It don't get over probably 80 degrees year-round. It's kind of weird. So here we are in hell. We'll call it hell. Phoenix. And we're going to start our sanctification walk to Flagstaff, heaven. And we start our walk. And we're doing our walk. We're getting partway there, and we're a little thirsty, so we stop and get a glass of lemonade. Drink it. Meantime, somebody sees us stopped drinking a glass of lemonade. They don't know Jesus. You get it? I think that's where we are as a country. It's a process. It's a walk. And as we walk, we continue to walk. And as we continue to be sanctified, our pen writing becomes better. Does that make sense? In fact, maybe we even can do the calligraphy stuff now. No, I can't. My wife does calligraphy. She does everything. It makes me mad. She really has skills and all kinds of crazy. I can't do stick men. But we continue our walk until we finally get to glorification. I think if we would pay more attention to our own personal sanctification, what I'm set apart to God to do, rather than somebody else's, what progress they're in, you get it? Okay. Justification. Listen, you should go out of here and like, just go up to a neighbor, Ronnie, or next time at your store, just say, let me tell you something about justification, sanctification, glorification, man. And they'd be like, what? What have you been drinking? It's what called the life in Christ, if that's what we want. And I think we all do, or we wouldn't be here. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks. I just pray that there was clarity in all of that, as much informational stuff that goes in. I just pray there's clarity in our heart, Lord. I pray that you help us gain the understanding that life is not just how awesome you are, but it has to do with how awesome you are, where it gets our feet involved in it, Lord. I pray that you quicken in our hearts those areas of sanctification, those areas of our life that you have created us to be, that we're not where we need to be in that. And I know that doesn't come through the dumping of guilt, but it comes through the love of who you are. So, Lord, Holy Spirit that resides in me, help me in that area as well. As I walk along this road of being set apart to you and doing what you have called me to do, I just pray that you release me, you release the folks in that. Lord, I pray for an understanding beyond the big words and the teaching and all that, Lord. I pray that you allow us to, you're the one that said the foolishness of preaching is what we understand, so that was pretty foolish, I suppose, but I just pray that you take that and place that in our hearts as only you can, so that we can recognize and see that our position is in you. And we, as we remain in you, our condition will continue to grow and transform into everything you want us to be. Father, I pray that your love and your mercy and grace will reign in all avenues of our lives as we continue to grow together and as we continue to move forward in everything you've called us to do. And I thank you for that. Amen. And God bless Christian Center Fort Worth. Hoot! All right, don't forget, through these doors.